Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind.
You are following online. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad to be here? I'm happy that you made it to church. Amen. Glory to God. The Lord our God is truly in our midst. He's with us, and the shout of the King is in our midst. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh God, glory. Primitive apostolic practices, right? Sold out. Amen. This is sold out part two. Sold out. We began talking about sold out last week, and there we talked about the practice of sacrificial living. Were you blessed? All right, today we'll be talking about the practice of sacrificial giving. Amen. So that's sold out part two. I mean, just open your heart to this message, you're going to get blessed. The practice of sacrificial giving. Okay. Giving. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. So we journeyed in talking about how the apostles lived, and we entered into their personal life of sacrifice last week. And what an amazing time we had. You see, the very price of discipleship is giving your all, and that is sacrifice. Amen. First yourself, then what you have. Remember, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul talked about that. He says, the Christians at Macedon, right? Macedonian church. He says, they first gave themselves, right? They first gave themselves. And that is the pattern. This is why we began to talk about sacrificial living, okay, from last week. You first give yourself, then of your substance. That is how it works. So you have to understand that the cost, the price of genuine discipleship or being the disciple of Jesus is giving yourself, giving your entire self, giving your all, loving Jesus more than everything else. Very quickly, give me Matthew 10:37-40. We read that first service, so you should have the scriptures now. Matthew 10:37-40. Giving your all, then read Matthew 19. Giving your all. Mekora vemadali kasa. So you see, he that loveth father, mother, more than me is not worthy of me. That's serious. And he that loves son, daughter, more than me is not worthy of me. That's serious. He's talking about family here. Amen. That means when you post and say family first, you are wrong. Amen. Somebody doesn't like me anymore. I'm not advocating that you become an irresponsible person. The same Bible says, a man who cannot take care of his household is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. Remember? So it has nothing to do with being irresponsible. It's about relative love. Amen. It's about knowing what is first. It's about knowing who is the king of your heart. Hallelujah. Your husband is not the king of your heart. In a sense, yes. But Jesus is the king of your heart. Glory to God. I know I'm messing up theology today. You see, the world has gone so carnal that the very rudiments of Christian living is being lost if it's not taught again. If you tell people that Jesus before their family, some people can fight you, Christians. Because over time, they've been programmed to say family first. Somebody posts everything in this world is family. And I said, really? You just lied. It's not true. Hallelujah. You say family is everything in this world. No, gospel is all everything in this world. Are you with me? I know I'm annoying you. It's in the Bible. You can tear that part of the Bible. Amen. Glory to God. Very important. We need to get into what the apostles understood. Paul was so committed to this gospel that he forgot to marry. Amen. At a point, he says, I wish everyone would be like me. But he had to add very quickly, well, he said, there are those who are giving, okay, and all that. Let me not go into detail. Praise God. He says, he that loveth father and more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Continue, we're reading to 40. For he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. 39. Thank you, Jesus. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Amazing. And he that loses his life for my sake shall. He that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. What is he talking about? He's not just talking about going to die. No. The conversation is around loss of control. How about together? Is around priority, prioritizing the kingdom. Last week I spoke to you about understanding God's purpose. Okay. Clarifying your priorities and then aligning your daily pursuit. Praise God. That's a summary of our last week talk. So, and this is exactly what Jesus is saying. He that loses his life will find it. He that finds his life. That means if your life is more important to you than being a disciple of Jesus, you will lose it. That's what he's saying. Glory to God. It's about priority here. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. These were the things the apostles had. And it influenced how they did church, how they did life in Acts of the Apostles and beyond. Are we together? That's the cost of discipleship. I said this in the course of the teaching that God wants disciples, not just churchgoers. He wants disciples. The early church multiplied disciples. You read in Acts chapter 6 verse 7 or so. It says, the word of the Lord did what? Increased. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly. And the great company of the priests were what? Obedient to the faith. He wants disciples multiplied. Because he can depend on disciples. He can't depend on churchgoers. Are we together? Disciples now have a personal relationship with him. Disciples understand personally the purposes of the Father. They are not just in fellowship with God in Christianity. They understand the interest of the Father. These are disciples. And this is what God wants. But beyond church on Sunday morning, I have a message I haven't preached yet. It's called Church Begins on Monday. Amen. Hallelujah. That means beyond church on Sunday morning, there's a walk with God. There's an understanding of God's purposes, of God's interest, of the Father's gender that you are living out every day. You are not helping to build Babylon. You are building Zion. You are partnering with God to build Zion. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, you are. I gave a funny example last week Sunday. I said that when you that subscription on Netflix you are doing, the money is being used to fight your God. Amen. Am I saying don't subscribe for your Netflix? No. But not at the expense of your partnership with the gospel. That's the idea. Hallelujah. You disagree with me? Most of the things believers do unconsciously is contribution to building Satan's kingdom, to antagonize the preaching of the gospel. A lot of them don't even know it. But you see, we must be believers who are raised, who are intelligent enough to know our Father's interest, and who are strategic enough to participate, to plan to participate in a big way. It's compulsory. It's not even optional. Hallelujah. The guys on the underside understand what I'm talking about. They live completely for this agenda. This is what they live for. When they say bring this, they are ready to bring it. Because life becomes purposeful when you have an agenda you are pursuing. I want to make money is not an agenda. I want my family to be happy is not an agenda. I want to have a good job is not an agenda. You must have an agenda. This is the reason for empty lives by many believers. No agenda. As a Christian, you must have agenda. And what's that agenda? Introduction to what Jesus said. Seek ye first the kingdom, right? And his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. What is he saying? Money flows to those who have agenda. You know, recently, I'm beginning to think, why do these guys have a lot of money at the expense of church people because they have an agenda and they are ready to service. They are very ready to service the agenda. A footballer who goes to a baba in a shrine to do something to go to Europe, when he returns from Europe for break, you know the first place he goes to? The baba's house. I'm telling you a real life story. Amen. Our brethren, when you pray for them to go to Europe, when they go there, they forget God. They are clubbing. They come home, they don't even remember they were in a church. Have it together. Yes, they give their parents money and build house, and that's all. No agenda. How would they make progress? They can't. Because you get to a level in life, you must bow to something. You must define your allegiance very clearly. Very clearly. It's not chance. The same thing with politics. Apart from believers not being interested, those who are interested, why are they not making inroads, further inroads, the understanding of this thing, this personal covenant, to live your life for an agenda is not there. The other guys understand this. They'll tell you if you go that this and this is what you will do, and they do it. Our brothers on the other side don't even need explanation. Once they hit there, something from them goes into the bigger picture. They're putting their brothers there. There's an allocation of money that goes to certain places. Let me not mention. Our brothers and sisters, do they understand that? They don't. They don't. Glory to God. If I'm funny enough, sometimes it's the believers who are up there that fight the agenda of the church. Amen. They fight it in the name of being elite, in the name of being civilized. I told a friend of mine something. I said, he said, well, there's no agenda anywhere. It's just one political elite enjoying the money. I said, your own brethren from the south don't have agenda, but the elites from the north have a clear agenda. And that's where the difference is. You want to get rich for your family. Another person is saying, I'm getting rich to sponsor an agenda. And you see the beautiful thing? If you think like that, you never look for money to enjoy yourself. But priority must be clear. Are you with me? Thank you. Priority must be clear. The lowest level of life you can live is to live only for yourself and your family. It's low. It's low. And someone say, but pastor, I'm a single guy. I don't have my family yet. My parents take care of me. You see your problem? I'm addressing a reasoning first. And it's that thing you have to correct. From where you are now, you have to start living like someone who has an agenda. I tell people, everybody has ulterior motive. Everybody. There's no demilitarized. No. All these people, this is what they are planning. You, what are you planning? What are you planning? When you see the move of the kingdom of darkness, as far as projecting Luciferian ideologies are concerned, you have to think as someone who should respond. The question you ask yourself is, what's my response? How am I going to respond? How am I going to respond? You sit down and complain about child trafficking or human trafficking, right? They say, hey, look at what they're doing. What's your response? Are we together? Money goes to those who have agenda. I said, but pastor, I don't have agenda, but I have money in my account. That's maintenance money. That's not the money we're talking about. Amen. Money and influence. Money and influence. And you see, in our kingdom, God will begin to test you from where you are now. If I tell you to give all your salary for 1 year, can you do it? I've received such instruction from God before, and I did not argue. Are you here? That is as a family man. Are you here? Because you see, in the kingdom, faithfulness in little positions you for much. He says, the man who delivered 10 pounds, he says, oh, you are faithful in that which is little. Come and be a ruler over 10 cities. How can you compare it? So, money is both a tool and a test. In our kingdom, he will test it.
and is a test of where your heart is.
Are we together?
It is. I'm saying that to explain to you that, look, what we're talking about starts from where you are now. Because someone can say, oh, pastor is talking about big things, mechanizing soul winning. He's talking about when the thing I'm pursuing come. No, no, it starts now. Track your money and we'll know where your heart is. No matter how small your income is, track it. Okay? No matter how big your income is, track it. Once it's tracked, you will know where your heart is. It has nothing to do with what is available. It has all to do with understanding the posture of the heart and the location of a man's priority. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. It's amazing I've entered into the message. I've not even read. All right, give me Acts. Acts quickly. Let's read the scriptures. But are you enjoying yourself already? Just pouring my heart, you know. Acts 2, 42 to 44. We'll read very fast. Then we'll go to Acts 4, 33 to 37. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Next verse. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the hands of the apostles. 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Praise God. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had good. And you see that? They sold their possessions and their goods. Did you see that? Acts 4, 33 to 37. Acts 4, 33 to 37. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. 44. 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them. And brought the prices of the things that were sold. They were selling things and bringing to church. It didn't start with us. Amen. And laid them where? At the apostles' feet. And distributions were made unto every man according as he had need. What I want you to see there is the heart that can sell things and bring for needs to be met. Are we together? Okay. And Joseph, who by the apostles was son named Barnabas, which has been interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, had land. Okay, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Are you seeing that? Powerful. This is how they lived. Glory to God. Now, let's continue like this. The assignment of the Old Testament church was very simple. Maintain the temple, take care of the poor, right? Until Jesus comes. And this is why you notice that the emphasis was social justice. Are we together? The assignment of the New Testament church is different. We would take care of the poor. We will maintain the temple. But there's an assignment to propagate the gospel to the nations. To spread the love of God. He said, go into all nations. You read it. And make what? Disciples of all nations. That means there is a task that is beyond maintaining the temple and taking care of the poor. We have an assignment. You have the calling to do what? To go. Glory to God. That is the assignment of the New Testament church. We are to evangelize the nations. That is the assignment. That is the call. T.L. Osborne calls it one job. One way, Jesus. One job, soul winning. One job, discipling the nations. One job, giving Jesus what he paid for. One job, making Jesus famous. One job, advancing the kingdom of God. One job. He paid for this world. We have to give it to him. You heard me say, giving Jesus what he paid for. That is the job of the church. He said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. And listen, those nations start from your neighborhood. I hope you know. You know, sometimes you say, go into all the world. You're saying, oh God, Afghanistan. Oh, Libya. It's wonderful. We'll do that. But this city itself is a mission field. Come on now. Am I saying the truth? It's a mission field. Let's even begin from the city. Then Nigeria. As Christianly as Nigeria is a mission field. The mission field starts from those who say they are Christians first, but who have no clue. They have no understanding what you're talking about. Then we'll talk about the missions field of the world. I told you about India. India has 1.2 billion people. The population of Christians is about 100 million plus. That 1.2 is not the 0.2 is not 2 million. It's not 20 million. It's 200 million. That's the 0.2. The 0.2 on top is the population of Nigeria. Do you understand? Then you have 1 billion people. And Christians are less, about 100 million. So you are dealing with 1.5 billion humans who are not interested in Jesus in one country. We have not entered China yet. Are you here? The assignment for the church is enormous. And this is the reason every part of the church has to be mobilized. Every member of the body has to be mobilized. Everyone has to go. You have to go with your prayers. You have to go with your money. You have to go with your effort. You have to go with your intercession. You have to go with your influence. And the Bible has given us apostolic patterns for taking these nations. He has given us. It's not about the sacred and the laity. It's not about the pulpit and the pew. It's clear in scriptures that God is mobilizing every part of the body to get involved in this thing. Hallelujah. And the context of this getting involved today is sacrificial giving. That's what we're reading from the scripture in the early church. Sacrificial giving. Write this down. God's wisdom for funding this agenda is the prosperity of his people. I've written that down. Let me explain something to you. As you study the scriptures, one of the things that should get your attention is this, that God has the preferred way of doing things. You see, most, let me not get into biblical exegesis and homiletics, but let me bring a little out. When I taught you about commitment to sound doctrine, I made a statement. I told you that what we call sound doctrine is not subjective. Amen. So there's nothing like, well, this is what I have found. This is what he found. This is what Pastor E found. This is your own opinion. This is my opinion. This is their own opinion. There's nothing like that as far as sound doctrine is concerned. And there are scriptures that attest to my claim. He said, give diligence. King James says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. The Greek word is orthotomio, from where they got the word orthopedics from. I mean, to cut through. It's talking about, it's cutting with surgical precision. Any surgeon here can tell you that. If you want to locate the appendix, you don't cut the chest, you will not find it there. Are you with me? That means there's a precise anatomical location. Are you with me? There's a precision to what you are to cut. That's what he's talking about. That means there's a precision to cutting the word. Oh, did you get that? There's a precision. It's laid down. If you study the scriptures, you will find it there. It's laid out. And there's no confusion to that effect. But there are rules. Just like a man has to go to medical school, follow a surgeon, you are shown, this is where to cut. No, put your hand like this. This is where to cut. In the same way, if you are not schooled on how to understand and interpret what God is saying, you can be confused. Yes, you can. You can be quoting the Bible, but be wrong. You can be giving instances in the Bible, but be wrong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you with me? The assignment of the church is clear. Express. Evangelization of the world and every part of the body involved. And God has a preferred way of doing that. And I remember where I was. God has a preferred way of doing things. There's a door. If I open it, it may take long. Did I open the door? Let me see those who are hungry for the word. Amen. Should I open it?
You see, there's a clear way to determine God's position or scriptural position concerning scripture, concerning a matter. You know, I'm talking about God's way, God's preferred way of doing things. The reason why certain things cannot stand for doctrine is what I'm talking about. There were things that were, you know, the Bible has, you know, the Bible has descriptive components and prescriptive components. That means the Bible does not prescribe everything it describes. Are you here? And this is why you can only form doctrines from the prescriptive component of the Bible and use the descriptive part for examples and to support what the prescriptive part is. Did you get that? Have I lost you? That means what you think in your mind, then at least I tried, is a whole, I have a whole curriculum for everybody. We'll call a meeting and we'll teach you how to engage the Bible. Amen. That means when you read the Bible, don't read your mind into the Bible. Amen. You have to understand how God reasons, because there's one mind behind all of scriptures. El Elyon, Jehovah, of course, through his spirit. That is the one mind behind scriptures. Are we together? So when you study the Bible, you will notice that God always has a preferred way of doing things. And that will help you align properly in your expectations and in your actions. God doesn't do things the way you think he should do it. He has a preferred way of doing it. And I gave some examples in the first service. The Son of God was being attacked. Herod was looking to kill him. And in your mind, you will think God is omnipotent, omniscient. Okay, he is sovereign. He can appear on the earth. I say, Herod, you mean you want to touch my son? Thou art but a dead man. And then they woke up in the morning, Herod is dead. No. What's his preferred way? He came and met Joseph. In fact, that's another revelation of his preference. He didn't meet Mary. Who was carrying the baby? Mary. Who had encountered with God? Mary. Are we together? But who did he meet? Joseph. Authority line. The moment Joseph came into the picture, God never spoke to Mary again. Every instruction concerning Jesus came to Joseph. Go and read your Bible. Amen. So sometimes people are just making noise in the name of wokeness. You are watching the foolishness and you are appalled. You are amazed. They don't know God. They have no idea. Amen. So he tells Joseph, take my boy, take him down to Egypt. When the coast is clear, I'll let you know to come. That's a revelation of God's preferred way of doing things. Peter was the one who was with Jesus. He was the head of the church. In fact, God tried to get him to the Gentiles. His mind couldn't break in. In the vision, the sheet of the so-called unclean animals came down. And God told him, kill an idiot. He said, no, Lord. No, Lord. You can see how a man's mind can limit God. It happened 3 times. And there's something about Peter and three. Amen. Jesus told him, you deny me 3 times before the cock crows. He told him, Peter, Peter, lovest thou me 3 times? And here again, he's bringing the vision for him 3 times. Hallelujah. And he says, no. But well, my point is, eventually God got a hold of a man. Listen, God is very strategic. In case you don't know, he's very strategic. Look at who he caught. Paul. I've always said is that it's not coincidence. It's not coincidence that the two men who wrote, the man who wrote the highest number of books in the New Testament and the man who wrote the highest number of books in the Old Testament were educated. It's no coincidence. God has the preferred way of doing things. Listen, if God wants to give the cure for cancer, he will not give it to a Christian who is an architect who is praying for the cure of cancer. He will give it to a doctor, preferably a genetic doctor working in the lab who is a Christian. Why do you think so? I mean, he loves everybody and he wants to give cure for cancer. In fact, the guy who is an architect prays more. But he may not come to him. You know why? On the earth, God has the preferred way of doing things. In following the leadership, in hearing from God, God has the preferred way of speaking. It's called the inward witness or the inward voice. That's the whole series altogether. I can't get into that. The inward witness or the inward voice. It speaks to your heart. It's an aberration for a New Testament saint to feel his superiority of spiritualism. For God to shout from the outside. Say, when the room God shouted, bah! No! No! He spoke in baritone voice and in King James Version. The whole place shook. Thou, my son. Thou, my daughter. Arise and go to London for the new job that I have for you. And then you want to use it to intimidate other believers. God has a preferred way of doing things. Are you learning something? So you now understand this. God's preferred way of sponsoring the gospel is through the prosperity of his people. Have it together. Because partnership with God will enlarge you on the earth. Oh, it will. It will. He knows. He can talk to the CEO of Apple. I think they have crossed the $1 trillion mark. That's a lot of money. He's okay, CEO, you're going to give $10 billion to my church. And it can happen. Don't you ever think in your mind that that cannot happen. It can happen. The Lord of all flesh, it can happen. He has 1,001 ways to get that to happen. But he has the preferred way. And I said in first service, if he got Apple to do that, their wealth is going to multiply. So he's shouting to believers, partner with me. Partner with me. He said, cry yet saying, true prosperity shall my cities be spread abroad. Zechariah chapter 1 verse 17. And after then he had a vision of the four horns. When you get home you can read it. That came to terrorize Judah, Israel and Jerusalem. So that no man should raise his head. What does that tell you? That means Satan fights this thing with all of his heart. With everything he's got. He doesn't want believers to prosper. And he doesn't want them to know how to. I'm telling you the truth. He fights it. He fights it. You saw horns came after God proclaimed that, look, true prosperity, my agenda was spread abroad. Horns came. Horns are symbolic of demonic authorities in that context. They came to keep everybody down. What am I saying? Your prosperity is a warfare and your major weapon is sacrificial giving. Write it down. Your prosperity as a believer is a warfare and your major weapon is sacrificial giving. I'm trying to give you many things at once. Oh, glory to God. Major weapon, sacrificial giving. Nehemiah 2:20. The Bible says, the Lord our God will prosper us and we will rise to build. That means God wants to build his house through the prosperity of his people. Nehemiah 2:20. The Lord our God will prosper us and we will rise to build. I love that scripture. The Lord our God will prosper us and we will rise to build. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servant will rise and build. Will rise and build. Oh, hallelujah. That means the purpose for your prosperity is to build God's kingdom on the earth. Are you with me? It's a partnership thing. It's a partnership thing. Like Paul told the Christians at Corinth. He says, ensure you are bound in this grace also. 2 Corinthians 8. Okay, read 1 to 3. Never see sacrificial giving as the church trying to get from you. Never. If you think like that, it means you were not properly raised as a believer. Never see it that way. That means if I come now and say, bring all your money to church, this is what we want to do. See it as an opportunity for you. Be blessed. Let me tell you something. It's something I've said again and again. Never let social media pastor you. That's level one. Level two. The word of God is our final authority, not the opinions of men. Level three. I told you
that Satan fights the prosperity of the believer, right? You know, one of his strategies, ignorance. Do you know another one? Sponsoring scandals around giving so that your faith can be affected.
Oh,
you see, Satan has no new, there's nothing new. He's just reinventing and trying to repackage rather the old thing, the things he has done over the years. Have it together. He sponsors scandal. Are you aware? Do you know how much of scandal has been sponsored concerning Jesus? Are you aware? Even while he was alive, the miracles he did, you know what they attributed it to? That he was casting out devils by Beelzebub, by the prince of devils. After his resurrection, are you aware that they give some people money to go and testify that his disciples stole his body? Newsflash, there are people who believe that till today. Now, don't mind them, they stole his body. Is that terrible? Glory to God. The other ones I can't see here. It's too unholy to see. Glory to God. So it's part of Satan's strategy. When you see him attacking giving, they'll put picture, this person prospered, but he was not doing tithe and he was not giving to church. And then you see believers getting silly, making silly comparisons. You know, I pastored for over a decade. I can tell you that one of the things I really don't like is seeing believers saying, making silly comparisons. You are telling them this is how to do this, and they're telling you, but I know that guy now. He was not tithing now. He was not giving now. That's one of the most silly things you can say as a believer. Don't you know that we operate by a different system? Don't you know that we play by a different set of rules? Don't you know that our system is different? What did Jesus say in St. Luke's Gospel concerning the unjust steward? After he said, how much do you owe my master? He reduced it. You know, that scripture is powerful. Very powerful. I think it's Luke 13 or so. Powerful portion of scripture. Is a demonstration of the man's faith in the invisible. I mean, he reduced their bill and he didn't ask them for money. But Jesus said, in the process of time, they will receive him into the everlasting arms. That means they invest. Oh God, did you get that? At the end, what did Jesus say? He says, the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the sons of the kingdom. What is he saying? The children of this world know how to work their own systems. But the children of God, they don't know. That's what Jesus was saying. They are smart as far as working their system is concerned. You, how smart are you as far as working your system is concerned? Because there are two different systems. That's what Jesus was saying. That the children of this world are wise in their generation. They are smart with mastering. They have mastered their system. But the children of the sons of the kingdom have not. So you cannot be in the kingdom of God and try to compare yourself with someone who plays by a different set of rules. It's silly. Amen. You can't. And by the way, you don't know half of it. That means there are things about them you don't know. Glory to God. So why not zero in to act on God's word? Social media is not helping matter. You see this one and say, oh, this one has private jets now. Oh boy, is he live? This is about just enjoying. Number one, are you even born again? Let me tell you something. The more Jesus occupies your heart, the more you detest the activities of this world. Amen. Do you understand? The more you are, Paul says, I'm crucified to this world, and the world is crucified to me. When they say somebody just bought jet, you're asking, has he ever given to church? Is he saved? Is he soul? He needs to be saved. You are not moved. You are not moved.
So, boy, see this. You should pity for them. You see, is this culture that worships money that is beginning to affect people in church? Are you kidding me? Sometimes when you watch movie, and then people are bound by things you are wondering. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you say, "I can lay hands on this guy." You are watching a movie. I say, "I can lay hands on this guy." He just accepts that this is who he is. Which, what do you mean? This is who you are. What do you even mean? But you see, they have no strength. They don't have more apart from their money and their influence. Nothing more. But we have the eternal God living in our hearts. What does that mean to you? We have the creator of the whole world living in our hearts. Oh God, we have our sins forgiven. Do you know what that means? No longer under the burden of guilt and shame and condemnation. Do you know what that means? You shouldn't trade it for anything in the world. You shouldn't. You shouldn't. I saw somebody say Two-Face is having rally. That was last year, right? He said, "Who is Two-Face?" I said, "No." He said, "What is Two-Face?" In this country, he said, "What is Two-Face?" They said, "Papa is a person. Is he a person? Is that his name?" That was 2020. He said, "Does he have two faces? What kind of useless name is that?" And that's all. He doesn't know who he is. Amen. He doesn't need to know. It was Andrew Womack who says, he says, "I have missed almost 30 years of the world civilization." Amen. Putting my head in God's word and the ministry. And he had to say, in the same way, I've missed out of many things that the world partakes in. The sickness, the confusion, the lack, the depression, I have missed it too. That's a blessed man. Are you with me? So you are moved? What you should be thinking about, so is that their strategy? How do we respond? Not that you are moved. An unbeliever is a satanist, your mentor or your mentress. No. Go and get back to the word and get your spiritual self-esteem right. There is a pride that you must have as a believer. Do you understand? There is a glory. He said, let him glory in this. We have our confidence, not in the flesh. He said, we are the circumcision that worship God in spirit. We rejoice in the anointed one and his anointing. And we have no confidence in the flesh. You know that rejoice there, actually says, we pride, thank you. That's the word. We pride in Christ and we have no confidence in the flesh. We pride. I gave you an, was he in the office? I can't remember. I was talking to them. You know, Yogi Cho's son was poisoned. They were in school, they were poisoned. So they died. Some one of that guy, child died. And then while he was praying, God told him, he says, the revelation that came to him that what Moses did, that bitter water became sweet. Okay, that poison water became sweet. And he went there, Mara. He says, I command whatever poison inside of you to come back to life. The child woke back to life and he took him home. You know, I said, how do we describe that to the world? For those of you that are looking for the world to clap for us, how do we describe that glory to the world? How do we, when we are moved, when you hear things like that, you are stirred. But can they understand it at CNN? With their understanding on Oprah Winfrey show, they can't. That means there's a glory that the church has that the world can never understand. There's something we have. There's a beauty. You are telling them that you danced and the contract came. They are wondering, are you insane? You are telling them that you locked yourself and you prayed in the Holy Ghost. And when you got there, they did what you wanted them to do. And they are wondering, okay, what does that mean? There's a glory that we have that the world cannot understand. So we can't condescend. Are you here? We can't condescend because you are wearing designers. Because the person is wearing, if you want the designers, get it now. Are you here? You should look at them and tell yourself, one day I will control all these people. They'll be coming to my house to lay hands on them. You call all their names. Are you here with me? Don't let the prosperity of the wicked inspire you. Don't let the increase of the ungodly inspire you. No, you are more than that.
you're more than that. There's a glory that we have. Oh yes, there's a glory that we have. See it? Oh, there's a glory that we have. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Spirits respond and honor sacrifices. Never forget that. Spirits is the power of sacrificial giving. Spirits respond. They respond to and honor sacrifices. And it works with either ways. It works both ways, rather. Amen. That means demons respond to sacrifices. Why do you think they make demands on people? It's a law on the earth. You have to constantly open the window for spirits to assist you. Amen. I said it in the first service. If you don't understand and practice sacrificial giving as a Christian, you are not going anywhere. You don't understand what it means to do belly-biting sacrifices for the gospel. You don't know much. I mean, it's 1 year. You have never given a giving that shook you. At least at this level. This is how the apostles lived. And I'm telling you now that spirits respond to sacrifice. You can't kill me. Oh, you can't. No, I'm unkillable. I'm online now. I'm saying I'm unkillable. I have invisible defense system. Are you with me? And part of that system is serviced by my sacrifice. Serviced. Are you here? Life is spiritual. You know, last week Sunday, two of our brethren were rescued by angels. That was angelic intervention. He was an angel. In fact, the fight on Sunday last week started with them, two of them. While I was preaching in second service, they were in the theater. Amen. But they are fine and doing much better. They ran into them, stabbed, they shot one of our, shot her hand, they picked a bullet from her chest. But she has been discharged. How can you explain that? Amen. If I, here is even the story that touched me. When I sat, I say, yeah, but that's the angel of the Lord now. Amen. That while they were cutting and shooting, a security person ran into and toggle with them. Number one, they don't be security, don't behave like there's no security intelligence like that. You shoot up, amen. And the security was the one that gave her to somebody to take her to the hospital. Are you with me? These are covenantist title. Amen. You, while you were traveling 3 weeks ago, the driver in front of you was shot dead. Two of us. He's here, he's alive. Amen. They were attacked twice. The guy in front of you was shot dead on the spot. He called me, lifted my hands, and said, Father, thank you for your redeeming angel. Amen. Your redeeming angel. Life is spiritual. The Bible says a man's riches shall be a ransom for his soul. You know how that works. You mobilize spirits in your favor. All this dry Christian living, nothing on the altar, it doesn't help anybody now. It doesn't. You read it in the early church. They sold things to give. There's nothing like you don't have money. You will sell things and give. You will sell and give. There's nothing like you don't have. When people say they don't have money, I just laugh. I say they are not serious. They are not serious. A call is made in God's house and I don't have to give. It cannot happen. It cannot happen. Are you here? You mobilize spirits. We will read through scriptures and then we will just stop. I'm not done, but we'll stop here. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3 to 6. We will read it. This is how life works. Unfortunately, the guys in the kingdom of darkness understand this. Oh yes, they do. Amen. Listen to this and you need to catch this. To them, money and material wealth is a leverage for something bigger. This is what I've been saying since morning. Believer, you need to catch this. Or else we think money and material thing is the end. No, it's a leverage for something bigger. to sponsor your agenda, because that is where true liberty of your spirit is. That is where true fulfillment is. Amen. That means you can never truly be fulfilled or satisfied if you are not about an agenda bigger than you. So material wealth, money, becomes a leverage. It becomes a tool. It becomes something you use to get something else done. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. There are angels that know my face. Amen. The angels of my pastor, they know my face. The angels of my prophets, they are very dangerous angels. They are very dangerous angels. They know me. Amen. My first car, I drove it to his church in Abuja and dropped it and gave to one of the pastors. I said, sell it and put it into this ministry. I took public transport back to Jos. You think the angels of that ministry don't know me? You are kidding. They know me. Amen. January of every year, my wife and I minimum will put at least $1,000 in his hand. And things beyond. Are you here? Angels. Sacrifice. Look at what happened. Let's read this. Let me be told more stories. I'll tell you another day. He says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statues of David his father, only sacrificed and burnt incense upon the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. Oh, glory to God. For that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. Listen, before this time, nobody has ever done that. You know what offering is? You just carry 2-3 animals and just slaughter. And then, that's all. He went beyond the requirements. He went beyond the requirements. 1,000 burnt offering. He sacrificed there at Gibeon in the great high place. 1,000 burnt offering upon the altar. So what is upon the altar? That's where sacrifice is. What's upon? I've told you, it's better to wear old clothes and have seed in the soil. Sacrifice on the altar than to be driving nice car, nice clothes. Nothing serious is on the altar. Nothing serious is in the soil. Ah, no. No. Mm-mm. No. Life will tear those clothes off your back. You are not the first to be blessed and to become poor now, but that's not God's plan. God's plan is upward and forward. You must have something upon. What are the landmark sacrifices you make every year? Write it down. Landmark sacrifices. Landmark. As a believer, what are the landmark sacrifices you make for the gospel? Landmark sacrifice. Not convenience. You throw 100,000 to church. That's convenience. Amen. Or you throw 1,000,000. It depends on your level. That's why I say landmark sacrifices. Landmark. You don't trade with God and lose. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not. Trade with God and be small? No. He's too faithful to fail. Just that many believers are not engaging. They're living calculated lives. Landmark sacrifices. 1,000 burnt offering. You know what happened that night? Put the scripture up. He says, that night, the Lord appeared to Solomon in Gibeon. You know, God is a spirit. Amen. He got the attention of the Father of Spirits. Of the Father of Spirits. Glory to God. Amen. Are you with me? Extremely important. Sacrifice. Sometimes the sacrifice is just obedience to what is written in the Bible. There are times where giving your first fruits will be sacrificed. My first salary as a doctor, I give it. My first copper lawi, I give it. My first salary as a copper doctor, I think it was 59,000. Amen, as a copper, I give it. When I started working after NYC, my first salary, I give it as first fruit. Are you with me? Amen. All through every year, my major income in January goes as first fruits. We're talking about the practice of sacrificial living. Because see, time will not permit. I'll enter into this next week. This will extend to next week. I want to show you something. You see, the root of greed is fear. And the cure for greed is giving. Let me put it. The root of greed is fear and doubt. And the end of greed is destruction. But the cure to greed is sacrificial release. That means you can never give your way into greed successfully. You can't. That means the way God wins your heart is by consistently taking what is in your hand through instruction. He can't. Well, look at what he did with Abraham. Have you noticed? He said, give me your son, your one and only son, whom that your son that you love, Isaac. Take him up to the mountain and sacrifice him. But Abraham was convinced that he will give it. But that's not even the point. Abraham was convinced that God will raise him back to life. That means it was an act of faith. The same way sacrifice must be an act of faith. But look, as I'm giving this, I will never go empty-handed. Never. I remember the first time I gave my laptop. That was 10 years ago. Okay, I gave my laptop. I was giving it to a church. Amen. Amen. I think it was at the beginning of our own church or so. Okay, maybe 9 years ago. I can't remember exactly. But I know I gave it to a church. You know, when my mind asks me, you have many things to do with the laptop. Okay, where are you going to get a laptop from? And then what Abraham told his servant came up strong. I mean, that was a rhema for me. God amplified it in my heart. The Lord shall provide. I will never forget it. The Lord shall provide. Is it a laptop I'm looking for now? He said, give me your son. Your one and only son. Whom thou lovest. And tackle. You know what God said after that? That should be verse Genesis 22. You see, Abraham, now I know. What? You mean God did not know before? Now I know. He had to pass the test of sacrifice. He put that son upon the altar. In God's mind, he sacrificed him. Amen. You must track your landmark sacrifices. Landmark. I'm talking about finances and material wealth. It's a test of your heart. Is a test of your heart. And I've said it already. Don't sit and say, well, me, I don't have anything. No, there's nothing like that. Everybody has something. Everybody has something. 2 Kings chapter 3, 26 to 27. I'll read that and then we'll close. Spirit responds to sacrifices. Spirits. 2 Kings 3. 2 Kings 3, 26 to 27. Spirits respond to sacrifices. Never forget that. And believers all over the world need to understand it. That act cannot be lost. There's a gospel that is gradually pervading everywhere. That self-centered, let's do our own thing. Everybody mind your business. Somebody say, there's a relationship I have with God that does not concern his church. The person is already deceived. The person has been deceived, ready to be slaughtered. You know, when they catch a ram and it's there, ready to be slaughtered. That's a Luciferian talk. God is a community God. I dealt with that 2 weeks ago. Amen. But see, I say that to say this. That ideology is sponsored from somewhere. At the agenda, the focus is to fight God's way of doing things. Glory to God. Just do your thing. Must we tithe? Must we give? There are churches that are afraid of telling members to give. Amen. See, we are aware that this giving thing has been abused by many charlatans. Many charlatans. Heavy charlatans. But you see, that something is abused doesn't mean it doesn't have the right use. Amen. There are many things Satan have abused. But they were created by God. He doesn't create anything. He just perverts it. And I told you, he sponsors scandals around them to affect your faith. They say, they'll not put a picture of a pastor who was saying, hey, all of you, hey, 1 million, see, come out, come out, come out. You, come out. What do you have? Come out. Give me. Let me chop it. You know, they'll just, you know, Satan has a way of, that's why it's called scandals. Are we together? There's something he's trying to use. to make it now look like every time you talk about money in church, people should freeze. And funny enough, the power, the sound they are hearing is money talking. They forget.
Amen.
Have it together.
Glory to God.
But don't forget, we are the first beneficiaries of our giving. Our capacities are enlarged. I remember the first time I gave a millionaire seat. Oh, Rabakaya, I conquered millions forever. Amen. I conquered a million forever. Millions, we say, okay, this is 1 million. I don't shake. Amen. Because what you give, you have conquered. What you give, you have conquered. You just come up, and it doesn't mean you have a million in your account. No. But your heart has been enlarged. It's been enlarged. The same thing with cars. I've given many cars out. And you know, I see cars, toys, really. Is that shift? He said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Are you with me? That means liberality increases the capacity of your spirit. He does. Listen, your heart, you can write this down. Your heart is the factory for your results. If your results are small, your heart is small. And the way to enlarge your factory is through liberality. That's the way. If even if that's the only mission for your sacrificial giving, it's worth it. He said, Kai, my heart is so small. My heart is so small. What do I have in my house to raise 1 million now? This. Put them out. 1 million, give. Praise God. And have thresholds. After you have conquered million, move to 2, move to 5, move to 10. Set landmarks. Glory to God. If you live in, if anywhere in the world, this message is for you. But this area applies to those who have background of lack and poverty. Reading motivational book is not enough. You have thank you, Pastor P. That's the icing on the cake. The core is pushing the frontiers, the boundaries of your heart to sacrificial giving. That's the call. That's the call. Anything can go. They say, somebody give me a gift. It's a gift. I can't sell it and give. You are not even serious about life. My wife sold her wedding ring to succeed in this church. I can never forget. She needed to make up money to sew. She said, how much is this ring? Maybe 100,000. Sold it, added money and gave. Are you here? You just need to ask me. This is what I want to do. I want to give. So it's your business. I gave you the ring. We can always buy a ring. And of course, he has had many rings afterwards. Are you with me? There are junctions in life. Oh, let me tell you. The patriarchs had a track record of prosperity. If you notice, you know, when the Bible says in Deuteronomy 18:8, he says, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he made with your father. The Hebrew word power, there is the same word for chameleon. That means this power of God can take different forms to prosper you. Are you with me? He can take different forms to prosper you. If you notice in the life of Abraham, the primary way God prospered him was through divine impressions. That means you notice that people were impressed to show him favor. Have it together. When you get to Isaac, it was through difficult instructions. Don't go to Egypt, sow in this land. In farming, he sowed, and God prospered him. Are you with me? If you notice, for Jacob, it was through inventions, distinguishing inventions, witty inventions. Are you with me? A major part of this prosperity equation is through that sowing in famine. Doing in fact, that means you come to junctions where you have to obey difficult. And for us, is a trio. Don't say, okay, me, I'm going with Abraham. People will give in impressions. Let me not even go into that. Let me not mess you up. Amen. Have it together. Yielding to difficult instructions. And in this area, for Isaac, the Bible says he sold. in famine. That means going counter situation. That means the time of your deepest need is the time of your greatest giving. 2 Corinthians 8, that's what he says now. He says, in their deep poverty, their liberality abounded much more. Are you here? It works. I would to God that you are hearing me. One of the things I told God, I don't want to be a pastor who is very prosperous, and then people are struggling around me. So I vow from time to time to teach people what I know in this area. If not, you can be a fine boy with great vision struggling. You don't understand what I'm talking about. You be deliberate. Giving my whole pocket money and looking for... That was from school now. Is a law. You begin to see that spirit will begin to stir. Listen, all this God stirred in my heart to do this for you. God stirred in my heart is conditioned by your sacrifices. When people's hearts are favorably disposed towards you, listen, it is supernatural. One guy chatted me from Europe. That was some months ago from maybe Ireland or something. It's, I used to preach when he was in secondary school. He sent me money that day. I was so surprised. He just felt led. Is that normal? That's not normal. That is not normal. But see, it doesn't happen by itself. It doesn't. No, it doesn't. Are you with me? It doesn't. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Libra Bokasasha. Speak in tongues where you are. Hallelujah. Mero kabasa melo kososha. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Oh, we give you glory. We give you honor. Count me on our feet. We love and adore you forever. Thank you.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.